You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Copper, is there a big deal going on there? Is it electrifying?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a price squeeze going on. Along with that, we have the 50% tariffs that have been announced. And right now, there are like these massive shipments of like copper racing to the U.S., trying to get in under the deadline of those new tariffs, because it's they're going to lose money on the copper they're importing once those tariffs come into place. And to do that, of course, they like bought up all the copper in London. And so that, of course, sent the price higher. But that's only the icing on the cake. The cake is a long-term supply-demand squeeze. And it's real. It's serious. And so this is just the trend. Now, one thing this shows us is that those worried about a global slowdown shouldn't worry so much, at least not now. I mean, copper is called Dr. Copper for a reason, takes the health of the global economy. And right now, Dr. Copper says the global economy is doing just fine. While part of it is the tariff anticipation, the underlying thing, the underlying theme, I should say, is that the global economy is doing fine and we need more copper for all sorts of stuff.
Yes, I mean, the shine might be off electric cars in North America, but in Asia, they're still selling like crazy.
Yeah, well, remember, North America also includes Canada and Mexico, and the shine isn't off, electric cars there. They are importing those cheap Chinese EVs into Mexico. I hear it's causing quite the tumult in their car industry because now they have the cheap Chinese EVs. So, I mean, if the U.S. wants to sit on a park bench and watch the rest of the world pass it by, I guess that's going to happen. I don't think it's a smart move. My wife and I are talking about a new car that I want to buy, which is probably going to be a hybrid, just because, I mean, this is the U.S., and it isn't easy to bring your EV to a place and, like, fill up in a matter of minutes. The Chinese have cars and EVs where they can now charge up their EVs in the time about that it takes you to fill a tank of gas. So that's the milestone that had to be reached. That's the bridge we had to cross. Well, the Chinese have crossed it. And so we aren't there yet. So while I'd like to buy an EV, my next car is probably going to be a hybrid because I need that engine in there just to, keep things moving along.
Plus, you're in Florida, a hurricane zone. You might lose power.
That could happen. Certainly, here we are sticking out in the Atlantic Ocean, pretty much begging to be hit. That is unfortunate, and we'll see how it goes this year. Knock on wood, but I'm just not just hoping that we don't have a hurricane this year. In my area. Hurricanes are unavoidable for the world, but I just hope none come near me.
How's gold doing?
Gold's doing great. Gold hit a four-week high just the other day, and at the same time, silver hit a 14-year high. Now, they're both pulling back. That's okay. I just used the opportunity to add two new gold positions to my resource trader because the trend is your friend, and the trend is much higher. For all the reasons you and I have talked about before, the underlying base thing is that central bank buying is just going at a steady pace. They are picking it up all over the place. But also, institutions, regular investors, you name it, there is a general sense of dread of like what's going on with the world. Gold is always the ultimate safe harbor. And also, there's the thing that you want to own real money. And when the U.S. is printing electronic dollars like maniacs, you can't print gold. And add in all the geopolitical stuff and like that kind of thing. And of course, we hit peak gold, as I'm sure your listeners know. So put all those things together. Gold's going higher. I think it's going much higher. I'm about to raise my target for next year just because things have been going so well. A real thing to watch is the U.S. dollar. Hang on a second. So we saw the U.S. dollar break down in late June. Then it popped back up a bit. Then it came down and it made like a new low in July. And then it rallied from that new low. But now it's going down again. So if you look at a chart of the U.S. dollar this year, the downtrend is unmistakable. I mean, it's there, you know? And so you can talk about things like, well, people aren't going to stop using dollars. Countries aren't going to stop using dollars. That's all true. But at the same time, if we're putting tariffs up against the world, that means other countries will be shipping us less stuff, so they need less dollars. And at the same time, central banks are stacking. In fact, I saw an amazing stat last week that gold has now replaced the euro as the number two holding of like all the central banks in the world. They still own plenty of dollars, and the dollar isn't going away. I always caution people against listening to those people warning about a dollar crash and like all that stuff. I don't expect a dollar crash. What I expect is a reevaluation of the U.S. dollar that could take it down, I don't know, another 10, 15, maybe 20%. Really hard to say, but over the course of the next year, you should see a lower dollar, and that means higher gold because gold is priced in dollars.
Yes. Now, I'm talking about the U.S. dollar and possible competition from the so-called BRIC unit. Every year they meet, they say, well, we're going to bring in this digital currency, 40% backed by gold, and then nothing happens. They just held their meeting in Rio, and all they did was sign a commitment for more inclusive and sustainable governance. Well, it seems to me every time governments meet, oh, well, we'll be more sustainable and easier to govern is the agreement that comes out afterwards.
Well, it's easy to promise things when the promises are nothing but hot air. You know, I mean, that whole thing about the BRIC currency, that's always been a great idea that's been around the corner for at least 4 years. You know, I mean, it could be around the corner for a while. Is all I'm saying. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. That said, we are seeing a move toward electronic currencies, stable coins, not just in the U.S. In fact, we're kind of slow to this. So I think that there are things going on in currencies, and I don't think the U.S. dollar is going away. I just think that we'll have less use of it for the simple reason that we are importing less stuff, or we have tariffs in place. People expect to sell us less stuff, so they don't need as many dollars. And, you know, I mean, other forces at work and all that stuff. I am not a fan of how much the U.S. government is now moving into cyber currencies. Cryptocurrencies. I think that is just a fool's gambit, and we'll be left holding the bag on that one. But, you know, that's just the kind of thing you expect with this administration. So we just have to plan for it. I mean, my subscribers are doing very well, I have to say, not to toot my own horn, by playing the things that the current administration likes. We're doing very well in drones. We're doing very well in rockets. We're doing very well in rare earths. We're doing very well in antimony. Uranium. God, we're doing well in uranium. So there's a bunch of things that the administration is very pro. And I'm not going to rant and like rail about it. I'm just going to say, okay, this is what they like. This is what they're going to pour money at. I should just have my subscribers grab a bucket and scoop up some of that money, and it's working for us. So, you know, I mean, we can talk about the big picture politics. I don't expect things to change anytime soon. I mean, you know, we can talk about certain files that have come out. That's not going to change anybody's opinion. They knew who he was when they elected him. This isn't going to change anyone's opinion. So I don't worry about any of that stuff. What I worry about is I worry about where the money is flowing, what it's doing, stuff like that. I can see it flowing into rare earth, antimony, graphite, uranium. I can see that for sure. I can see the groundswell that's just lifting gold and silver. Oh my gosh, silver. Higher and higher. Silver hits a 14-year high. That has to grab you by the eyeballs. So these are the things that I'm paying attention to. I mean, you can certainly pay attention to the politics if you want to get an ulcer, but I'm really focused on making my subscribers money.
Coffee prices in the U.S. could really soar with the administration threatening a 50% tariff on Brazil. Brazil produces about 30% of U.S. coffee imports.
I know. The funny thing is the U.S. only produces 1% of the coffee we consume. Most of it comes from Hawaii. And I've been to a Hawaiian coffee plantation, by the way, which the thing about that trip, it convinces you you never want to work on a coffee plantation. We also get a little out of Puerto Rico. But, yeah, I mean, those tariffs are paid by U.S. companies and U.S. corporations. That is who pays the tariffs. And so this seems to be inflationary. It hasn't hit yet, but in the last inflation report, that was a funny thing. Goods produced in the U.S. and also shelter and like things like that were keeping inflation down, but we're starting to see it percolate up in imported goods. Coffee would be an example where, of course, the price is going to go up because of tariffs. Let's focus on Brazil. There are things that Brazil sells to us, and I would worry about maybe investing in a Brazilian company that really depended on U.S. markets because they might sell less to the U.S. You know, they don't pay the tariffs, but it can certainly cut back on the demand for the goods they sell. On the other hand, one stock that I recently put in my Wealth Megatrends, which is my monthly newsletter, put those subscribers into is Petrobras, which is the Brazilian oil company. Why is that? Because they actually sell very little oil to the U.S. Most of their stuff is sold overseas. Hello, China. You know, stuff like that. And the stuff that they do sell, again, Petrobras doesn't have to pay the tariffs. Those tariffs will be paid by U.S. oil companies because they want the Brazilian oil to mix into the U.S. refineries. So that's, it looks like the tariffs aren't going to hurt Brazilian, the Brazilian oil producers at all. That's why Petrobras looks very good to me, because it was beaten down and stuff because the word tariffs was like floating in the air. It seemed like a perfect time to pick it up. So, and in fact, I was just on the phone with a gold producer. Now he's from, he's operating in Mexico. You know, Mexico is having its own tariff tiff with the U.S., but he was speaking about what he's doing, and his company sells gold, but not to the U.S. You know, it goes international. There is one thing that they have to buy chemicals. They have to buy chemicals from the U.S. so the price could go up. But with what's going on to the U.S. dollar, which is down, right? So that might actually lower the cost of the chemicals enough that even when you add on the tariffs, it's really not going to be that much of a hit for them. So there's a lot of moving pieces in this. And so people shouldn't panic too much. They shouldn't ignore it either. I mean, it is going to have real effects. They shouldn't panic too much about tariffs. Because as annoying as they are, and I'm sure many of your listeners feel they're stupid, and I would agree with that, it isn't the end of the world at all. In fact, if you look at the global economy, things are trucking along just fine.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Let's dig a little deeper into rare earths. What's the hot stuff there? You said antimony. What's it used for?
Actually, antimony is not a rare earth.
No, it's not.
Sorry, sir. No. You're getting a D in the class today.
That shows you what I don't know. That's why I ask questions.
Antimony is something used to make missiles and other stuff where they need to withstand high heat, you know? Whereas rare earths, there's a group of them. The one company that's doing very well for our portfolio, and I know that your network doesn't like to talk about individual stocks, but it's a good example. So let's just do that, okay? We have one called MP Materials, and we bought it back before it really took off. And the reason that we bought it, I actually made a presentation down in Boca Raton at the Weiss Investment Summit, where I talked about this and some other rare earth companies, talking about how the U.S. is realizing that China really has them in a clutch, you know, and so China can just shut off the export of, like, rare earth. So the U.S. needs to restart rare earth, not only mining, but processing yesterday. And so that's why we saw the Department of Defense become the biggest shareholder in MP Materials, which is great, you know? And so they also guaranteed them a floor price, which is at the time much higher than the current price of, like, rare earths over in over in China. And so that really helped it. And then they got another deal, and oh God, I can't even hang on a second. Right, so then they got another deal with Apple, and so to supply them with rare earths. And why did Apple make that deal? Because they know, thanks to the Department of Defense deal, MP Materials will be around to supply the rare earths. So what they really need is they need enough of a government guarantee that it's a reliable supply, and that's what we're seeing. That is not the only stock that's moving higher. Rare earths generally look good, and of course there's different types of rare earths, and basically you want the stuff that goes into the magnets. That's what everyone wants. And so I'd say that we've seen a good run in rare earth stocks. We might see a little consolidation here, but they're going to take off again. I expect the prices to go higher, and a few years from now, you might think that the Department of Defense actually got a bargain when it guaranteed that floor price for MP Materials, because the price of all kinds of rare earths could go much higher from here. And we're not the only ones who are after rare earths. Europe is in the same boat. They have a defense industry that needs those magnets, and China cut them off too. So Europe is desperately looking for this stuff as well. There are, by the way, Canadian rare earth companies, or I should say listed in Canada, that are talking about or exploring or developing selling rare earth to Europe. So there's an opportunity for you guys there. And again, I know, thanks to the restrictions on your network, you don't want me talking about individual stocks too much. But they're definitely out there if, like, people do their research. Now, these things won't happen immediately. MP Materials is probably the closest to actually getting it done. Others will take a few years, 2028, 2030, stuff like that. But the situation isn't going away. One way that this trend could be hurt is if China suddenly said, okay, we were wrong, here's all the cheap rare earths you ever wanted, super cheap, which is what they did before to crush U.S. producers. If they did that again, would the U.S. fall into the trap of saying, okay, now we can buy things cheap from China, we don't need to start our own mines and stuff, or else will the U.S. have learned its lesson, and will the U.S. government say, no, we need to promote these mines in the U.S., these processing facilities in the U.S., because we can't depend on China? I believe that's the route that will actually happen. I'm not saying you need to buy these stocks now. You might want to wait for a pullback. Certainly, I'm waiting for a pullback before I make my next recommendation in this. But the long-term trend is definitely much higher. So if you don't care about short-term pullbacks, you can buy whenever. Just know this. This is going to be an incredibly volatile sector. I mean, if you think the swings in silver were something, just wait till you see what's going to go on in like rare earths over this next year. It's going to be crazy. There's always going to be a pullback. You can always wait for the pullback and buy it. That's what I would do. But, you know, your listeners are grown adults. They can do what they want. But certainly it's an exciting space to be in. Antimony, which is another exciting place. I mean, gosh, we need more production of antimony. We can't supply on, we can't rely on China. In fact, China had this chance to send us a huge antimony shipment, and they said no. Dang, we need to get our own antimony production going here. Graphite, same thing. I mean, there's a bunch of these exotic metals or exotic minerals you might want to call it that look extremely good here. And then we can move on to uranium, which, I mean, uranium stocks have had a great run. Thank God we're long in that industry, or else we would have missed it. Did very, very well. It's not over either. Now, we are seeing announcements from around the world where we're seeing more announcements where people want to use nuclear power. And of course they do, because while it's not exactly green, nothing is really green. I mean, even your like windmills and your solar farms require inputs that are done with old-fashioned mining, you know? So nuclear is one of the greener choices you can make. It's certainly better than coal. It's even better than natural gas. So, yeah, we're going to see a lot more nuclear on the table, too. So I think that it's an exciting time to be in this industry. The mining industry is just going to be enormous, and we're going to have a great rest of the year, I'm thinking.
Palladium and platinum also doing well?
Oh, my God. Don't I wish I'd bought palladium. Oh, what an idiot I was not to buy it when it was cheaper, when it broke out. Mary, now I have so many other things going on. I can't afford the time to research palladium. Of course, just palladium soared. Platinum, yeah, here. Let me make myself really depressed and look at the Aberdeen physical platinum shares. Oh, yeah. Now, again, platinum is at least as much an industrial metal as it is a precious metal. And so what the movement in platinum is telling us is there's nothing wrong with the global economy, okay? So looking at this chart, I mean, I wish I had bought it earlier. I'm not buying it now because there can always be a pullback. I mean, just if the thing pulled back to the 50-day moving average, there'll be a huge correction, which I might buy at that time. So, yeah, they both look really good. They look really strong. I'm not a buyer at the present time, but that's only because I missed the move. And so I would wait for a pullback before getting long.
Any other areas we should be keeping a close eye on?
Well, I think I already mentioned how well my subscribers... Now, this is another publication I have, Supercycle Investor. How well they're doing in things like rockets and drones and like stuff like that, doing extraordinarily well. In wealth megatrends, we are playing the European military build-out. They are spending on their military like they haven't done, I think, since World War II. You know, I mean, just a crazy amount of money being invested. And so European defense stocks already ran up. Now they're starting to pull back a little. If they pull back a little more, then we'll start to get interested in them, because that is the time to get long when you have a pullback in an industry that is guaranteed to have strong business for the next 10 years. Pullbacks are something you can buy in that. And that's the case with European defense, because the threat from Russia is not going away. It only seems to be getting worse. So those are some things I would look at. And the last thing I'll say is utilities that can feed into the hyperscaler, AI, that whole thing. I mean, electricity demand in North America is just going through the roof. It hasn't yet, but the projections are really, really like hockey stick high. And that has to be fed from somewhere, and good old boring utilities. I just wrote a free column about this at Weiss Ratings Daily earlier this week, as a matter of fact. It was on Wednesday. And just the demand is going to be enormous. If you have utilities that can feed into that, they are going to do extraordinarily well. I mean, I hope people can understand that the stock market does not measure the health of the economy. The economy is actually doing pretty good, but the stock market can do better than the economy because what the stock market measures is wealth, you know, and earnings of these companies, stuff like that. And so no matter what you think of the economy, I happen to be bullish, but some people aren't. Just understand that the stock market as a whole can do very well no matter what the economy does. And I just think that this is a good year for the stock market, and it's a great year for certain industries within the stock market.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He was speaking to us from Florida. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.